massive gravity theories. And so let me advance to you essentially the main point of this, so that it's clear. So what we did in this work with together with Gia and Michele Rey is essentially to what we realized that in theories of gravity, where gravity is modified in the infrared, the size of Lorentz violating effects can be much larger than in ordinary gravity theories. Okay, so in a sense, having an infrared modification of gravity can relax the bounds on Lorentz violating effects in a way that I will show. Okay, so this is the bottom line. And I will try to illustrate it with some examples. But let's start by saying something about this, how people usually get the bounds on Lorentz violating effects. So usually people introduce some Lorentz violating operators in the Lagrangian, like for example in the case of the photon, you could introduce a term that goes like the electric field squared. So okay, this is not Lorentz invariant. It's a rotational invariant though, and the effect of this is to modify the speed of propagation, the speed of light in this case, right? So immediately you can place a quite stringent constraint on this effect, perhaps the most strong comes from cosmic ray observations. So the point is that if these photons, for some reason, travel at a speed lower than the speed of light defined by the light source, so if you have charged particles that travel faster than the photons, then they chain covariate and lose lots of energy very fast until they move at essentially the same speed as the photons. And then, you infer that the maximum, so the most energetic primary protons that we see in cosmic rays have to have at most this speed, and so you get this quite stable. Okay, so this is all fine, but in here, in this kind of argument, so you can do similar kind of arguments for other particles and so on, but the point is that this is ignoring completely gravity here so far. Okay, and the point is that in GR this is a delicate thing to do because the Lorentz group is embedded in its gates. Okay, so here, if you want to have a theory where this is explicitly broken, then immediately it means that you are introducing extra degrees of freedom, and so you are departing from GR. Okay. So if we want to still stay in GR, then the breaking has to be spontaneous, which means that you have to introduce some source that is one violating and produce this breaking that then is communicated to under model or whatever. Right? So let's consider for simplicity this toy model in where we have some hard field that depends on time, and this is how we break the Lorentz group rotation. So then, as I say, this breaking is transmitted to the standard model or to the photon in this case. For example, by this higher dimension operator, okay, because now this structure is Lorentz regulating. And the point is that this is subject by some scale, some high energy scale, which should be relatively high energy because we haven't seen this kind of thing. Right? So. The second point is that the way how we realize then these the small parameters that we introduced before is precisely by this combination, okay? That 10 to the minus 26, so this combination should be very small. Okay, however, in ordinary gravity, as soon as you introduce this scalar field that breaks for you spontaneously on the Lorentz invariants, then this field quite reacts, okay? It has some energy density. And then immediately, in order not to conflict with cosmology, this you conclude that the energy density of this guy has to be less than much less than critical. Okay, so, and then you plug these numbers in this combination that parameterizes this Lorentz violation effect, and you get a ridiculously small number that's completely out of the question that we can measure it at all.
And so in which units is this?
So this is a dimensionless parameter. The parameter that parameterizes suppresses the operator. Okay. So here I'm assuming that this is a higher energy scale, say.
Can you just recall quickly why you call it spontaneous breaking of Lorentz?
Because
I mean, we have in cosmology, we have always a cosmological breaking
right.
of Lorentz symmetry by any field that moves.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is particular now?
So spontaneous in the sense that it's is produced by a solution, it's a source that.
Yeah, but I mean. Cosmology
yes.
breaks Lorentz symmetry.
Yes.
Yeah, that's precisely the point.
So now, what is not special about the normal cosmology in this? Spontaneous Lorentz symmetry breaking up to now seems to be just a particular
right.
time evolution of something else. There must be something special why you give it this name.
So the point is that so if we want to ascribe the origin of these terms in the Lorentzian to the coupling of fields that are evolving
okay.
in the cosmology, then the size of this operator of this dimensionless number is 10 to the minus 60. If we assume GR.
No, but because your system explicitly violates Lorentz invariance. Everything what you
write
is Lorentz invariance.
That's precisely his point. His point is that
I want to realize that term like this. Okay?
This is Lorentz invariance.
Right? Yeah, but then this gets an expectation value because it's evolving to
one.
According
to Lorentz invariance by execution, the driver of the effective field.
If you don't want to call it spontaneous,
in such effects you also have, let's say, if you would have a metric
he's trying to say that once you satisfy those constraints that you're talking about, any Lorentz breaking becomes completely uninteresting, completely subdominant to gravity or cosmology. That's precisely his point.
Yes, maybe.
On 10 to minus 60, so you can forget about it.
Maybe if he gets further, we'll find out
yes.
he's right.
Yeah, okay. So.
What about the very early universe? This 10 to the minus 60, if you go to the beginning,
let's just think about Lorentz violating effects that we can measure now or say next year at LHC, for example. Okay. If it ever will happen. let's proceed then. In this standard setup, then you conclude that the size of this has to be tremendously small. Okay, so and we track back the origin of this small number is because we are enforcing this cosmological bound. Okay, so our question and the motivation of this is: so is it possible to have any consistent theory, any framework where you introduce a field that like this color field or whatever? That breaks for you Lorentz invariance, but this does not back react. This does not curve the space, so it wouldn't affect cosmology. Okay, so, and the most extreme example that we think of is can we have Lorentz breaking, so something getting some vector that's Lorentz breaking, but in Minkowski space, so that is the metric is Minkowski. Okay, so this is what we are looking for, and what happens, as we will see, in massive gravity theories, like in GP, and like in another example that I will also see. Okay, so but let's just first state that this is not this is really impossible in ordinary gravity with ordinary sources. Okay, if you introduce anything that breaks Lorentz invariance, then this is transmitted automatically to the metric, and the metric will not remain flat or Minkowski. Okay, that's impossible. So, however, we found at least two ways to realize this thing, as I say, and one is mass in gravity, and the other is the condensation of high-spin vacuums, which is this thing is also related to gross condensation. So both of them are examples of infrared modifying gravity. So here there's this connection that I was advertising at in the beginning. All right. So in a sense, this is also related to this derivation that Gia was talking during the conference. Because so what we want to do is to have some source or some explanation value of some field that doesn't affect the background, that doesn't gravitate. Okay, in this case we are not worrying about the cosmological constant, that would be precisely Lorentz invariant, but it's the same kind of idea. Okay, so so let me state it once more because it's perhaps the main message that so this I'm going to try to convince you, but so if this is true, that this thing can happen in massive theories, massive gravity theories, or this gross condensation, then the finding any Lorentz violating effect at the LHC in the near future would be seemingly a hint that there is something going on in the very deep IR we have. Okay, so it would be a clue that perhaps it's a modification of it. So okay, so from now on, I'll just describe a little bit this high-speed integrated condensation, and then I will show you mostly these explicit examples of solutions that are in Gaussian in BGP. But in the presence of fluids, okay, which are not Lorentz invariant, and also I will, if I have time, entertain into the generalization when instead of Minkowski we have that the background is the metric is the sitter or anti the sitter. Okay, so few words on this high-speed Dapian condensation. This is just a fancy way to say that this is completely analog of the Higgs mechanism. Okay, you have some field that has a charge under the Lorentz group, has a spin. Okay, it has to be a spin one or higher, and this gets some expectation value. How can you do this with this kind of potential with the breaking pattern? Okay, and so for the spin one case, it will be something like this. And the point is that, well, it's easy to see that when the vector is zero, this is an unstable phase, and you want to condense to a phase where this is pointing some direction. And if you take this to be, if you arrange the potential so that the minimum is at the time of your direction, then you have precisely this break. Now, the nice thing about this way of doing this is that so first we have to realize that this is a static solution. Okay, so the stress tensor associated to this vacuum, okay, doesn't have a kinetic term; it only has these potential terms. But we have chosen precisely the potential so that at this expectation value is a minimum, so this term, which would be Lorentz violating, is not there. Okay, and we have only Lorentz invariant piece. Okay, this is like a cosmological constant because V at the minimum is a constant. And so this indeed is a field that has a Lorentz breaking expectation value, but whose stress tensor is Lorentz invariant. Okay, and so in this way you can realize precisely what we are saying. Okay, the back reaction of this thing on the metric will give either Minkowski space if V is tuned to zero or the sitter, which are both in particular Lorentz invariant. So the bad news about this model is that this is related, very closely related to gross condensation, and so in particular it has a gross. Okay. Now the way how this is related to gross condensation is, okay, let's go back to this spin one case. So so this is with just a mass term for simplicity of the analysis. Then when you write down in terms of these two Doppler fields, then this is the ghost that appears in the ghost condensation. Okay, so in the idea is that if this mass for the spin one is tachyonic, then the kinetic term of the longitudinal polarization, which is this color, is wrong, is a ghost, and then you have a problem. This means that in the symmetric phase where you don't have the Lorentz breaking, you have a ghost. So this doesn't really give a description of the unbroken phase. You only have a description of the broken phase. Okay, fine. So let's go to the second example then, which is this massive gravity models, or more specifically, BGP. So in this case, what we will do is we will introduce explicit sources as a fluid with some generic equation state. And this introduces, of course, the source of the Lorentz breaking. But still, because in massive gravity there is this screening effect, this will not curve the space. Okay? So this is very easy to illustrate. Okay? So at the linear level, the equation of motion takes this form. So this is the kinetic term, the Einstein tensor linearized. This is the Pauli Pierce master, which is the only one that has no ghost, whatever. And we are coupled to a source. Now, if this source is constant, just a constant, a homogeneous and constant fluid, let's assume that for the second is constant, then there is this solution in which this H mu essentially sets to this combination, which is also constant. And so, if it's constant, it's a pure gauge. It's on the form of pure gauge. And when we compute an instant tensor on this, it's trivially zero. So which means that then, first of all, this is indeed the solution. It consists of a consistent solution at the linear level. And and besides, the fluid stays on this Minkowski background. And so indeed doesn't dilute. Okay? So any fluid would give rise to this. Okay. So this is the story at linear level. At nonlinear level, we have to complete the theory. So this is about the BGP. Then I think I don't have to describe much what it is, let me just say that to linear level, TGP is just a bunch of massive gravitons. Okay, and so the previous story that I told you also at linear level also applies. Simply that I have an infinite continuum of massive spin tools. Okay, so and in particular, it seems that you can find solutions. But so let's see again. Let me give you a few examples of real exact solutions in this BGP. So the first one was found in the paper. And so let me consider on the brain. You have a fluid. Say it's just dust, okay, and a negative cosmological constant on the brain. And let's tune the volume so that the total energy density cancels. Okay, so this effectively this fluid is made of the total is of made of just pressure. Okay, has no energy density. So if you have this on the plane, then there is a very easy exact solution, which is just like that, which is nothing but Minkowski five-dimensional Minkowski space. Okay. But actually, in Lindner coordinates, this y, which is the direction in the bulk, is essentially a Lindner coordinate, and the brain is moving on this accelerated trajectory. But of course, I mean, when we set y to zero, okay, what you get on the brain is Minkowski space. Okay, so indeed, this is one exact solution that realizes this. Right, you have some fluid, but the four-dimensional metric, and so four-dimensional observers see Minkowski state.
You don't get to the stable.
That's okay. I'll go to that. So, of course, the full five-dimensional solution is not Lorentz invariant, at every slice in the bulk, at every constant y different from zero, you have a different speed of light. Okay, so you have lots of Lorentz violating effects coming from the expression perversion of the graviton and so on, but that's another story. Okay, second example is even actually a much more older example, which is so now consider that instead on the plane you have a fluid with this particular equation of state, okay, and only this fluid, so no tension. Then the solution in the bulk is a Kasner like metric. Okay, and so this this has at each constant y section you have a Minkowski space with a different speed of light. Okay,
what's different speed of light? You just rename. Okay, you take t goes to t prime, which is 10 t, and then what you can tell me
after that
the speed of light is different. By definition, it can't give you no one speed of light.
But if you
compare,
right, but you are doing a rescaling of t that depends on y.
Yeah.
So this is.
Why comes?
Why keep the surface? Yeah. Why did it not use the interflow in the perturbation time?
Right. If you have different, imagine that you have multiple of different y. One will have one speed of light and another the other.
Right, but if you stay at y equals
constant, doesn't
matter where you stay, if there is any mode that probes, but gravity doesn't stay there, right? Gravity probes average.
No, gravity probes average,
yeah,
but light doesn't probe.
No.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so maybe this is not the more relevant thing, that that's each y different, you have different.
No, but if you do any experiment with gravity, you see one parametric effect, you cannot get rid of it.
Because you feel he's there.
No. Of course.
Yeah, but on four dimensions, things
you can see. Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah,
what? Yeah, so.
But this is not speed of light, it's speed of propagation of gravitation perturbation. So, light stays from the
perturbation. Yeah, it doesn't matter if I do any experiment. No, also light will affect. It will also affect the light. It will affect different things because as soon as you complete quantum corrections, there's no way to keep it from.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, in general, this the photon or whatever could couple to its unique curvature if it's frame has some thickness or something, or even or from quantum effect or whatever. But.
No, also, you see, when you say photon stays on the brain, I mean, nothing exactly stays on the brain. Always there is some profile, right? So
there is vacuum polarization effect also, which also induces the same thing here. So in this sense, if you look at F squared term, also there is the variation of Lorentz. Propagation has been applied to PT.
Where?
If you will take into account vacuum polarization, it will ask me something.
We don't know if this is one.
Okay, but
if you. But anyway, if you have a stress tensor that looks like that, in what sense can you even cast it?
Yes.
In what sense you can be a Minkowski?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you told me you were an FRW, I would accept that, but then I would say that the energy density there is going to redshift away.
That's the point, that this is essential because it's a homogeneous, it's screened, okay, it's screened away, and the actual metric is flat. If it's flat, then it's conserved automatically. It just has to stay constant. It doesn't have to redshift away, okay?
Then you have to write something, yeah? What has no the form of which identification, which doesn't preserve its form anyway, four-dimensional transformation on the brain. Yeah, so it's like perturbation or gravity, etc.
Of course.
In this sense, actually, it's what
of course, yeah, perturbations are
when I see just metric is invariant.
But that's the whole point. The question is whether you can have exactly Lorentz-preserving metric so while still having Lorentz-violating effect.
Yeah, but
that's the whole point.
Yeah, but
but the other question was different. I mean, that would be true in GR, but that's precisely the point.
Yeah, so you
GR would be no way out. If you have this tensor, it would, of course, it would curve the space. That's precisely his point.
Yeah, exactly. So when you see W different from minus 1, you say, oh, it has to let you away. And then it would not be conserved in Minkowski. But the point is that in Minkowski, if it stays constant, it's also conserved. Okay. So then this is the domain wall that Gia was talking about before is also trivially another example of this. Okay, It seems that you get a different pattern of Lorentz breaking. I wrote it, the metric that you get, I wrote it in this convenient coordinates. It's just, I have to rush. So it's just another example. Okay. So as I was telling you before, the one thing that we can try to see now is that, so from the linearized argument, any source, any fluid, seems to be screened and to be consistent with plus space. Okay? But here I just show you a couple of specific fluids, this W minus a third and the other case. Okay, so the first question is, can we generalize this to the other fluids? And the answer is yes, but this in general requires having extra stuff in the bulk, like a cosmological constant and this file tensor, which is also called the Lebesgue variation. Okay, so this is one point, and the reason why this you still see these solutions at the linear level, but then when you do the actual computation, you see that you have to add extra stuff, is that the relation, the amount, so the relation between the cosmological constant in the bulk, say, and the energy density of this fluid is quadratic, okay? So this is of higher order in the source, and then you see that you don't see this in the linearized treatment. Okay, so let me review very quickly how to see this. I mean, before even computing the full computation, it's very easy to see that you need the cosmological constant and bulk tensor. Because the point is that on the brain you have this junction condition, and also you have to fulfill the Gauss-Kodachi equation, okay? But this relates the intrinsic curvature to extrinsic curvature and five-dimensional curvature, which if you have only cosmological constant is just that, and then this bulk tensor. So whatever stress tensor that you put, if you assume that the Einstein, so that the solution is Minkowski, then this is zero. Okay, so you read off what's k, k gets here a square, so this is also zero, and then you get that in general you have to solve for the cosmological constant dark radiation, in terms of the energy density of this fluid. Okay, so well, and in this way you can get a bunch of solutions like this. In the bulk, the solutions are just Schwarzschild anti-de Sitter and this kind of metrics, and the brain is a certain trajectory in this Schwarzschild ADS that is such that the intrinsic metric is flat, okay, which you can still embed in this space, and well, this is pretty much straightforward. And then, as Justin was mentioning, so here, of course, you have to worry about the stability of these solutions. Now, there are several kinds of instabilities that can affect the solution in general. One is the ghost that you can have in EGP, of course. I will very quickly tell you, essentially, that instead of ghosts, in general, what you have is a change in stability. So it's in this sense, it's similar to the ghost condensation case. But there is another kind of instability, which is these tachyons. And by this, I mean the same kind of instability that the static Einstein universe has. Okay. So both of these are easy to see. So in the case of this ghost or gene instability, you can read it off quite easily from the Pilot arrangement in terms of for this longitudinal polarization of the graviton. But let me not enter into this. So let me just tell you that it's a gene instability. Really, the discussion relation for this guy is of course not Lorentz invariant, and you can get this instability. And for the tachyonic instability or this Einstein static universe kind of instability, what I have to say is that there is always a range of parameters such that instead of a packet and instead of an instability, you can make it to be a stable solution. Okay, so there are solutions. So then let me flash through very fast to these other examples, which are so that's the same idea, but in the seated. So is it possible to have a seated background with some fluid that breaks Lorentz invariance, of course, and doesn't affect the fact that the background is the seater. So this is of course possible, and but I want to show you that in this case it's much less trivial, because in this case of course the fluid has to redshift away in order to be conserved. So not just anything will do. And well, once you do all the let me see. Yeah, once you do the linearized analysis, you realize that first of all, so once you plug some source which is specified by some energy density and equation of state, the perturbation that this gives on a single massive photon of mass m is given by this combination. So this factor times this, which depends only on the fluid you put. Okay. So this immediately tells you that okay, now this is of course not a pure gauge, and so if you compute the Einstein tensor produced by this is something that is Lorentz violating, and in principle you would transmit this into the curvature, right? but there is a way out, which is that in models with extra dimensions you can have in principle a zero mode and a bunch of those Lorentz modes, and then there can happen cancellation. Okay, it can happen that the zero mode which has m equals zero, which with different sign relative to the closed line modes, because this the closed line tower starts at this value, which is larger than 2 n squared. Okay, so and this is indeed, believe it or not, what happens in BGP. So the only thing is that this requires that you tune the cosmological constants in the bulk and on the brain to be like that. And well, then you have essentially, as this in the story, you have essentially that the yeah, sorry about that. That the bulk is again a Schwarzschild the seater, in this case, the five-dimensional spacetime, and the brain is some trajectory on that. Okay? But it's a necessary condition that the mass parameter of this Schwarzschild black hole is negative, so it's a naked similarity, which forces you to take the energy density of this fluid on the brain to be negative. Okay? So yes, the conclusion is then in BGP, yes, it's possible to have this breaking of Lorentz invariance in the seater space, but this requires negative energy density, so it's a bit unphysical. So the situation in anti-de Sitter is even worse, because there, this mechanism that you can see at linear level that relies on the cancellation between massive and massless modes, I'm finished. This doesn't happen, because this gets flipped. The sign here is all the same for the two guys. And then you can never make it, even in DGP. Okay? And what's nice about this, and that's why I want to talk it, is that when you can compute actually the exact solution, assuming that the brain trajectory is intrinsically anti-seeker, but then you run into similarities. Okay, so this is nice that you can operate the series and the solution. So, well, the veins. So the conclusions are this, but as I have already said, the main point is that. It would be nice if this first of all to generalize if this is possible in other kinds of theories of gravity modified in infrared. Some features should remain, some may not. Perhaps it's then possible even in the seater. But the main point of all this is that what remains true is that an observation of Lorentz violation in the even at LHC could be a strong case that David is modifying it.
I offer three questions. Nobody's taking advantage leaving this room and going to the birthday because we have a small flat apartheid show where you are the models downstairs. That means we will take photos of us, right? Ooh. So it's in the atrium right before birthday we meet downstairs in the atrium. Get the photo, and only who is on the photo will be allowed to have lunch. So, yeah, I saw all three questions and we start with Slava and then we go.
Okay, let me ask the question. Yeah? In which sense you mean Lorentz invariance? In global sense or in the sense that the theory becomes non-Lorentz invariant with respect to local moves? Because if you mean in global sense, then there is no Lorentz invariance, as you know, even in general relativity, right? Then take also Minkowski space, forget about the cache, take time variable background. Also, Lorentz invariance is violated. Now, there could be another possibility which you wrote from the very beginning that you had like electric field squared in the Lagrange. So do you claim that in your GDP model you could generate the terms, okay, like electric field squared on the brain, which would be not covariant with respect to the local Lorentz transformation, local boosts, or not?
Yes.
So this is the main
So here, I mean, of course, the perturbations are of the graviton and everything are Lorentz.
No, perturbation is a different story. I want to see the term in Lagrange because if you have the graph, then you propagate perturbation. Okay. Then it's clear that when you make Lorentz boost, the equation will not preserve its form. Yeah, because, okay, for instance, this table violates Lorentz invariance.
Yeah, yeah, so the point is, I see what you mean. So in this case, so what you have is on the brain, so the Einstein, the intrinsic curvature is zero, and so it's not kinematic, but the extrinsic curvature is a tensor that has an expectation value in the solutions, and is not Lorentz invariant.
Yes, he said, I understand, but it can be so that actually the quantity involves only implicit occasion compared to the brain. Yeah. And then only these indices are transformed. Because if you would introduce just field, constant field, then of course there is no Lorentz invariance. If it's vector field, then there is preferable direction in this sense. But what I wanted to know that maybe perhaps actually you could generate this theory where the Lorentz invariance is broken at the fundamental level locally. You cannot allow even mixed indices, for instance, on the brain. And then the term will not be invariant.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is the thing, or the thing is different than the ground, no, there is preference of Lorentz.
No, the difference from table is that your table will also cover the space.
Yeah.
And that's why the Lorentz invariance that you can have in GR is completely uninteresting. Because we have to put so many tables for them to be interesting non-gravitationally that already the tables will rule out your cosmos. Okay? Here, the point is you can have exact Minkowski space. No table, no. Exactly because we say.
Yeah, but still this is the other problem because you see, if you want to have exact Minkowski space, then I understand that this is a different problem because if I will take in my Minkowski space scalar field, how much in the scalar field?
There's no scalar
field. Then, of course, it will be, okay, back influence exactly. Minkowski space.
Right, exactly.
But if you are interested just in compensating the energy of this field, which actually just violates Lorentz invariance. In a sense of global Lorentz invariance, then this is a different story. You see,
in GR, you cannot do it. You can never do it.
Yes, this I understand, but this is actually, you see, I asked from the very beginning, in which sense it's violated?
In exact sense, it's a violation of Lorentz invariance. So, there will be an observer on the brain who sees, this observer sees Minkowski space, let's say in the vacuum, you remove all the tables. There are no tables.
Understand.
Okay,
we almost have a second talk.
No.
And in the same time, we'll see Lorentz invariance.
So maybe we can continue hearing. We have a very long break. First John, then first.
A quick point. If you take tetrad formulas in the GR, and you put in the drag of a vector field, the quantum time of the vector field, then you immediately reduce the graviton mass.
Yeah. Right. That's the point.
So, by the way,
it will be the
I showed this in publications 15 years ago. And you were probably in school.
Don't tell us that you listened to this paper. Just so.
Let me come back to my question before. Maybe I'm silly today, but I am not understanding your basic point. I mean, when you go to cosmology, you always have what you call spontaneous Lorentz violation. I mean, some fields that have a time dependence, there's a picture of plane, you have the ET phi, I can take about some sort of intersense field that has a ET phi, but also the metric has different G not not components and GI. So, I mean, we know in cosmology, Lorentz symmetry is not a symmetry. And there's not really a problem with that. I mean, we can compute everything, there's no inconsistency, there are some small effects, calculable, everything is fine. So now what is really special? Why do you call that spontaneous Lorentz symmetry violation? Is this effect now much stronger? Or what is different? I mean, if you have an action that is Lorentz symmetric, and you have a solution that is not, then of course you can always call it spontaneous violation of Lorentz symmetry, but there is no big deal with it. That's what cosmology is about.
Yeah.
So what is now special?
The point is that precisely, so the point is that if you want to generate this operator via these fields that are evolving cosmologically, then this amount of Lorentz violating, so the size of the operators are ridiculous, are very small.
Okay, so you just want to enhance this effect, the bigger
exactly.
effect. This
yeah.
is the
exactly.
He relaxes the constraints on this.
Okay. So this is the answer.
Yeah.
So let's thank the speaker again.